The following Sleep Better podcast is brought to you by the Sleep Forum. For more information, visit thesleepforum.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Ruth Marion at the Sleep Forum. Welcome to the Sleep Forum podcast. Today, I'm really excited to have with me Teresa DeNike. And Teresa is founder at Sleep Better NYC. Teresa and I met in Charlotte, North Carolina at Sleep 2022. Really fun. And in passing, she was running by and I was standing at the table and we said, well, we got to do a podcast. So here we are. Hi, Teresa.
Here we are. Hi. Great to see you in person again, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. Exactly.
You know, sleep was so crazy. There's so many people, so many sleep things that I feel like everybody's schedules are packed. So I'm glad that we got to reconnect.
Yeah, I was telling Teresa, if I felt like a kid in a candy shop there. It was so much sleep stuff. But yeah, everybody's schedule was so packed, but I'm glad we're getting to do this. So I'm not going to ruin Teresa's bio. So I'm going to let her tell her own bio. And who she is and how she came to become the founder at Sleep Better NYC.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you. So yeah, obviously I'm Teresa, the founder of Sleep Better NYC, which is a company for sleep coaching and care coordination. What we really focus a lot on is education, support. And now because myself and the other coaches that I work with, we have a lot of experience in the clinical world and especially with sleep apnea, we're also doing a lot with monitoring of sleep apnea therapy. So CPAP and oral appliance primarily. We have a decent presence on social media and we really use that just to get the word out, obviously about our own company, but also about sleep in general, answering a lot of really common questions and topics. I know that there is a ton of information out there on the internet and you can Google all you want about sleep, but just so much of it is so vague. It doesn't really apply to a lot of people. It might actually be inaccurate or old information. And so it can be really frustrating if you actually have trouble with sleep to go and try to like find the information on your own. So that's part of the reason I started Sleep Better NYC. I actually have always been in medical and dental sales and consulting for about 15 years. And then I got involved with sleep when I was working for a sleep apnea device manufacturer called Somnomed. They make oral appliances for sleep apnea. And first of all, I didn't even realize that was a thing. And then when I started working for that company, I realized a lot of people didn't even know it was a thing and doctors didn't even know that they could prescribe it. And so almost immediately I was hooked and I started realizing that there were just so many people out there who unfortunately didn't get the bare minimum education about sleep. And I just really wanted to do more to help them.
That's so true. You know, I was thinking the exact, when you were talking about Googling sleep, I was thinking the exact same thing today. You know, sleep is so individual. It's so individual. So, you know, you can Google sleep all you want, but what I believe you do is you look at the whole person.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And you don't just, you know, that's something that you can't get from Google.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you have chronic insomnia and you Google how to sleep better, it's going to tell you like, have a dark, cool room. That's not going to cure your insomnia. I mean, it's helpful. I think everybody needs great sleep hygiene. And a lot of what I do is very basic sleep hygiene and mindset. But if you have a sleep disorder, there's no amount of habits or vitamins that can fix you.
So speaking of sleep disorders, would somebody come to you before or after they've seen a sleep doctor?
We've seen a mix of both. In promoting a lot of direct to consumer, if you will, you know, people who aren't patients, a lot of times, and actually more times than I realized would happen, is that we get people who either wanted to see a sleep doctor or they saw a doctor years ago and they just, you know, they had like 5 minutes with that person and they just really didn't get the information they need, or maybe they have an appointment, but it's 4 months out. or they can't get to a sleep lab for 3 months. So they'll come to Sleep Better to kind of get that process going. We are 100% virtual, so we can also help with that. We can help get them sleep tests at their home or connect them with the doctor, just because we have a pretty big network. But I'd say about more than half of the clients that we see actually are patients of doctors. And so we work directly with physicians, and sort of along the same lines of what I was just saying, even the physicians, unfortunately, they know that they don't have a lot of time with those patients. And so they might diagnose that patient, they might prescribe treatment, but then that patient becomes a client of Sleep Better NYC, and we explain, what exactly does this all mean? What does the treatment do? What are your other options? And, you know, just what are some general lifestyle tips that you can use? Because again, you're not really going to get that at the doctor's office.
Right. So some people need handholding. Some people need additional help in addition to their physician, which is when they would come to you.
Yes, exactly. We do not, we don't prescribe anything. We don't change any prescriptions or therapy, but we can give you all the information about it, and we can tell you what to ask your doctor about if you need a change.
Do you speak directly with the physicians?
Sometimes, yes, especially for these sleep apnea patients. We have a portal system where we can send them messages securely directly about that patient, and everybody has to consent to that.
So take me through the process. If I come to you, I've, you know, years ago, I saw a doctor, my husband said, my wife said, I'm snoring.
Uh-huh. And
I might have sleep apnea, and I say, well, okay. And I come to you.
Perfect. Okay. So in that scenario, which again is a lot more common now in what we've been doing, is that, so you see a sleep doctor and they tell you they have sleep apnea. And we'll just say, for example, because it's very common, they prescribe you CPAP. So you go home and the CPAP either, you know, gets delivered, or maybe somebody brings it to you, depending on, you know, where you live, what companies you're working with. And so from there, the doctor would have told you, okay, I'm partnering with a company of sleep coaches. So they're going to reach out to you. They'll sign off. You know, of course, if they do not want to be contacted, we're not going to reach out to them, but let's just say everything goes smoothly and they consent. So they'll get their machine, and we actually then will have direct access to the data on their machine. So we're going to see right away if they're using it, how long they're using it, if there are issues with it. For example, if their mask is leaking too much, because that often causes discomfort. So we'll be able to see that, because it all goes into the cloud, you know, in ways that I don't really understand. But right. From there, we'll contact the patient. We'll contact the patient no matter what after a few days, just to sort of introduce ourselves, ask if they have any questions. Again, let them know exactly what they have been diagnosed with and what their therapy option CPAP is going to do for them. And then from there, we'll just basically monitor them. So we're always going to introduce ourselves and talk to them. We can do it via text or a video conversation. And then we'll just monitor and keep track of what their usage is like and if they're having any trouble. And from there, we'll contact them again, pretty much based on when they need it. And that would be for sleep apnea patients.
Right. So for sleep apnea patients, I mean, the first thing is they need a test.
Absolutely.
Whether it be a home sleep test or whether, mm-hmm. you know, in a, what would you recommend as far as a test goes for sleep apnea? Would you recommend a home test? Would you recommend
you know, before the pandemic, I feel like it was sort of 50-50. Of course, an in-lab test is going to give you a lot more information. It is, you know, quote unquote, the gold standard. But now I really think it's closer to like 70% home sleep test and 30% in lab. You know, if you have a history of heart attack or stroke, if you have a complicated medical history, if you know, pediatrics, you always need to be in lab. But otherwise, you know, the technology is so advanced nowadays. So many of these home sleep tests are small, they're easy, and they're very accurate. So you can do that at home. You can get it from your doctor. There are online services. So it makes it pretty easy to get a diagnosis.
Okay. And then what, one more question. So we went through kind of sleep apnea. Now, what if it's insomnia?
That is a whole nother animal, but also a lot of people who have insomnia tend to have other issues too, whether it's stress or anxiety or sleep apnea also. But, general sleeplessness is what we see a lot of times, especially in our social media, people just looking to improve their sleep in general, or people who have tried a lot of things and haven't had much success. So for that, we have some online education that is it's sort of like go at your own pace. So we'll give you a bunch of PDFs and videos and links, and we're going to give you the order in which you should do it, but you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do and how you want to go through it. And in those programs, we then have hyperlinks to associations for sleep and behavioral health, sleep psychiatrists, which again, a lot of people just don't know exists. A lot of people that we've talked to have a psychiatrist of their own, and they might have prescribed medication to help with their anxiety and help with sleep, but they're not necessarily sleeping pills, and they don't really understand the long-term effects of that. So it's really important to find someone who specializes in that. And so that's something that we really focus on doing. So we use some of the principles of cognitive behavioral therapy in our programs and in our approach to speaking with people. But if somebody has some red flags of insomnia, or they've been experiencing it for a really long time, then we will help connect them to a psychologist.
That makes a lot of sense. I was about to say, the first line of treatment we always hear is cognitive behavior therapy, for serious insomnia, right? I mean, the situational insomnia, which
Of
is.
course, yeah. I mean, I think everybody, and I tell people that all the time, if you have a bad night of sleep, do not freak out. It's totally normal. Sometimes.
Happens to all of us, even me,
Yeah.
and you. I mean,
Of course.
we all try. What's your opinion? Just one last quick question. I love
Sure.
talking to you. What's your opinion on sleep trackers?
Certainly mix, and I think, I mean, you were at Sleep. I'm sure they had the lectures on it. There's a whole bunch of lectures. I went to World Sleep in Rome. There was like a half of day a day on consumer wearable and sleep trackers. I think that because the technology keeps advancing, they're super interesting, and they're pretty accurate. I think that in the clinical world, a lot of people are really hesitant about it because it's not accurate enough. It's not specific enough. But that's comparing it to polysomnography. And I mean, frankly, most people do not need it to be so specific. I think it can help with improving habits. I do recommend it for clients to track weekly instead of nightly, because I think that if you're tracking it, I was guilty of it too. I wear the Oura Ring, I wear a watch, I wear a headband sometimes. And every morning I like rush to look at my phone, and then you get sort of like this instant anxiety over sleep, which is completely counterproductive. But if you're looking at it weekly, or you're looking at the trends, or saying, oh, this one night I had a horrible night of sleep, what did I do that day? Did I not exercise? Did I drink too much? I think that can be super helpful. I just think that people shouldn't put too much stock in all the details, the sleep staging. I get a lot. I always know when somebody is using a sleep tracker because they'll ask me about deep sleep or REM sleep. And I have to tell them, like, don't even look at those numbers. It's not really accurate. But, of the big picture, I think they can be helpful as long as it's not causing you more anxiety.
You really get varied opinions on sleep trackers, especially if you ask somebody who is really knowledgeable in the clinical world
Right, yeah.
with the real sleep trackers. You know what I mean? And then compare it to something like the Oura Ring. I see what you're saying, but it is kind of fun. I mean,
Yeah.
and it is kind of like, I mean, when you get a high number, come on, you have a great
Yeah, I know. It's like it
day.
motivates you, and people like that, right? They want to be motivated. They want to improve their own health and like take control over their own health. And that's, I think, a good way of doing it. A doctor on our advisory board, Dr. Michael Gradner, it's brilliant. He speaks on it all the time. I've seen him at clinical lectures, and he basically says, like, whether you like it or not, these things are here. Like, we have to embrace them. We have to learn about them. People by the millions are wearing these things. So we have to
That's
figure
right.
out how to use them.
That's right. You know, I mean, you know, I use it for fun. I mean, and then, you know, the Fitbit, though, like you said, I mean, it is a motivation, just like the Fitbit is. I mean, how you can share, you know, your exercise with somebody and then compete. And, you know, the sleep thing is becoming the exact same thing. I mean, if you go, like, I belong to like an Oura Ring community.
Oh, right.
Okay, on social media, and on there we post our scores, one trying to beat the other.
That's amazing. Who's the better sleeper?
Yeah, who could sleep better? I mean, it's hysterical, you know. And I am like, ah, oh, darn, can't post that number today. You know, that's embarrassing. Only got a 70. So, anyways, is there anything else that? I mean, we've covered an awful lot of information just now, and I love talking to you. I just, but I want to respect your time and day. And, but I do want to know how people can reach Teresa.
Thank you. Well, you can get a ton of free tips and information on my Instagram. It's at SleepBetterNYC. And our website is sleepbetter.nyc. So www.sleepbetter.nyc. It's not .com. You have tons of information there. We have pop-ups and emails and messages. So you can reach us in multiple different ways. And that website you can go to if you are a client, a patient, or a doctor. We'll have your options for every way that you can work with us.
Thank you so much. I think, you know, what you're doing is wonderful. I love that you're virtual. Also, I just want to mention to our listeners, because our listeners are all over the place. So Teresa is virtual. So it doesn't matter where you are. She is in New York City, but.
Yes, that's so true. My name is Sleep Better NYC, but being virtual, we talk to people all over the country. So
right. Don't hesitate at all to ever contact Teresa. And I'm sure she can lead you. If if she can't help you, she can definitely direct you to the right source. Now I'll be posting all that information on our website as well. And thank you so much for talking with me today in the Sleep Forum.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
And I will see you again soon.
Yes, please.
This Sleep Better podcast was brought to you by the Sleep Forum. For more information, visit thesleepforum.com.